So yesterday we started discussing the topic of what the Torah is. So the Beis Yosef on this siman writes that before the Spanish expulsion, the Rabbonim in Spain were sitting and learning, had a big machloikis about what's called Torah. Whether the whole tip of the Aver is called Torah, or only that Chut HaMakif is called Torah. So this is the Sefer Yad HaKtana. Yad HaKtana was printed anonymously. It doesn't say who wrote it. But when they reprinted it, so the one who reprinted it got haskamas from different rabbanim. He has a haskama from Yosef Shaul Natanzan, who lived in Lemberg. That was the big city, the capital of Galicia. So he writes that even though the first edition, it was printed anonymously, but we all know who the author was. And he tells you the name. I never heard of him. He says he was a successful businessman. He was an honest businessman. He was a big Yerushalayim Maim, and a big Talmid Chacham. He mentions his name. And so it's a major sefer. So the very last section in the sefer is on Hilchas Milah. And he has long arichas on this topic. He's known for this. The rest of the Sefer is also... I remember when I was a student at Yeshiva, so Rabbi Gerelich was one of the Rebbe's here, so he said he bought a copy for each one of his children when they got married. They should look, because he has a lot of hashkofa. So he has a very long arichas on this. What is the Torah? And he shows that it's an explicit machloikis. What he says, he said, was machloikis in Spain among the Rabbana before the Spanish expulsion. So the Arakana shows that this was a big machlokes, Rashi against all, Rashi and the Ran on the Rif, says word for word the same as Rashi, against the Ramam and the Rif and all the other Rishonim. So all the other Rishonim understood that it's the whole tip of the Aver, the whole tip of the Aver. So this Galah HaTorah, you have to have Roiv of that, HaTorah should be Megula. So let's say you cut off up until here, 60% of the Torah is Megula, and 40% is Mechusah. So you can read it, it's good. But the Gemara has a comment on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if you have little strands of skin are left, if you didn't do such a mod, didn't do such a good job, and there's a little bit of the thick skin that's covering up Roiv HaTorah, and it's no good. So the Gemara was bothered. That's a definition of Bris Milah, of course. If you have the 51% of the Atar has to be Megula. Otherwise, just cut off a little bit. So that's not called Milah. So what is the Mishnah telling me? What's the definition? So he says, Om Ravina. Ravina says, no, the Mishnah is telling me a Chiddush. Midi Rabbanan, I'll be Pashtas. The Mikra and then it's enough if 40% is the Mechusa, 60% is the Gula. But there's a Chumra mid Rabbanah, if you have a little bit of skin that goes, even though it's not Mechasa, the whole Shetach, Rob of the Shetach of the Atorah is Megula. But if you have a little bit of skin that goes past 51% over here, that's even though it's not so wide, it's only a 16th of an inch wide. So it doesn't cover Rav of the surface of the Torah. So that's a Chumra Midrabanan, that's Ma'akib in the Bris. That's the Pashup Shah. You look in Rashi, Rashi doesn't say that. So that's what this, the Araktana has a long arichas and tiny letters. He keeps on repeating the same thing and proving that this is the Pshat, that the Choch Misvardi, that the Beis Yosef quoted, is saying Pshat and Rashi. He doesn't say, he says the Mefarshim said, which Mefarshim? Says Rashi says it explicitly, that the Torah is really only the Chut HaMakif over here. And if you cut off 60% is Megula, 40% is Mechusa, 40% Mechusa, the whole Torah is Mechusa. That's no good. You have to have the whole, this Torah should be Mechusa. Should be Megula. And then Rabina is adding on another din that if you have a little bit of skin that goes all the way to right up this, even though it's not so wide, it's only a 16th of an inch wide, it's also no good by the Rabban. So he showed this is the Machloikis, Rashi against the Rambam and the other Rishonim. The Gemara has a din, let's say the Moel did a bris milah, and later on in life, the orla grows back. Either grows back or somehow it got stretched out, and now the person is again an orla. So the Gemara says, Ben HaTorah, since you did the milah behechsher, so nimshech orlasai, Min HaTorah doesn't pose a problem. But the Rabbanon does a din, that Mishum Marisayin. Marisayin, who looks at what's under my underwear? Who looks there? Once in a while, someone's going to be in the mikveh at the same time as me. So I don't understand it fully. Why they made a Marisayin on what's on his body? But that's what the Gemara says. If it's Nimshech or Losos, and Mitam Marisayin, you have to repeat again the milah, but you don't say a bracha. You don't say, whenever you do something, Mishum Marisayin, that's a question. But when you do something, Mishum Marisayin, does one recite the bracha or not? Because the Marisayin is an issa. You're not allowed to act in a way that people will think that you're not Mekayim a mitzvah. The Gemara has a din by Ner Chanukah. You have to light Ner Chanukah al Pesach, Pesach b'chutz. What if he has a Pesach, let's say there are two streets. My house is in between the two streets. So I can put the menorah in this window facing that street, and this window facing this street. I'm going to put it over there. People will walk on this street, there'll be a Marisayin. They'll think I didn't bother to bench Chanukah lift. So the Gemara said, Mishum Marisayin, I have to light in both windows. So it says the Shulchan Aruch that since you're only doing it, they quote the Rishonim. Since you're only doing a Mishum Marisayin, so the Ran says you don't recite a bracha. Your Marisayin is an Aveira. You're not allowed to act in a way that people will think that you're doing an Aveira. People will think that you're not doing a mitzvah. So you have to do something in order to prevent yourself from doing an Aveira. So you don't say a bracha. That's a person going to shave with an electric shaver, not to violate Giluach Bitar. So he's going to shave with an electric shave. He says a bracha, the Rosh in the beginning, the Ksubis raised that. So the bracha, Shekhashan, Tavsan, Shalom, Galech, Bitar. Or you go to eat in a kosher restaurant, so you say, Bracha, Shekhashan, Vimsos, Vitzvan, Shalom, Lech, Macholos, Hasuras. What are you going to say? So you don't say a bracha. But then there's a contradiction. Achrenim has to steer. Contradiction. And it says, if you have a ben pekua, means a shechted a pregnant cow, and after a shechted the mother, and then the uber came out. So in a Torah, the uber doesn't need any shechita. And I can take the uber later on, jumping around on the farm for a long time, and then I just take and I shoot it, and I eat it. So in a Torah, it's good, because ben pekua is nita b'shechita sima, but with the rabbanon, if he frees agavi karka, if the ben pekua came out of the mother's body, he's jumping around. Jumping around, if it came out dead, so then ben pekua is muta. But if it's jumping around, it was born and jumping around for days or months or years, whatever. Then you shoot it. Then it's also mishum marisayin. So it says over there that when you do the shechita on the ben pekua, you do say a bracha. There is not a contradiction. So the answer is, we're shifting the question. The answer is by shechitas ben pekua marisayin is the reason why they made a takana. And the takana was that you need shechita. So we just shifted the question. When they say Marisayin is the whole Etzem Din, when they say Marisayin is the reason why they required the... Why don't you say Misham Marisayin, they were mechayiv you to light two menorahs? You don't say that. Misham Marisayin, you have to be careful not to mislead people into thinking that you're doing something wrong. So that's the question. When do you say Bracha Marisayin or not? And you say, here it says in Shulchan Aruch, that if the person once had a bris milah and at that time everything was fine, and then over the years nimshach orla, so the orla stretched out, got longer, so it covers over the aver again, so mishum marisayin, you have to repeat the milah, you don't say a bracha, and then the poskim say there's no need to cut off basar chayfes reivat tor, as long as you just cut off one shlish is megula, that'll be enough to take off the marisayin. So many moyalim. The Munkacha was a moil, so he wrote a separate sefer, Bris, Oz Bris Kodesh, separate sefer and Hilchas Milah. So he, in the Pischei Tshuva, before the Munkacha, also in this, Pischei Tshuva on Yeridei was written in the late 1800s, and the Munkacha was the early 1900s. Munkacha died before the Second World War, the Minchas Aluza. He died before the Second World War. So they both write that a lot of the Moilim had this practice. They would take the Orha Orla before they did the Bris, and they would fold it back, so it would be Nizgalah HaTorah. And then, when they would let it go back, they have to do that. They have to, before you do a bris milah, you have to do what they call probing. You have to take a little piece of metal, a stick, and separate between the eva, the gid, and the skin that's on top of it. Because when you cut it, you don't, there's gook there in between the skin, and there's always going to be gook. There's going to be gook in between the skin and the eva hazachus. So you have to probe to rub around to make sure that it's separated. So when you cut it, it's not going to rip anything off. So the moilim used to separate the or ha'orla from the skin, and they would push it back, and then they would cut. And then they would cut, so a lot of times they wouldn't cut the 51%. They'd cut less. And they said, since they moved the orla back, so min ha'torah, that's enough. And when they let the orla flip back again, that's nimshach ha'orla sign. And all you need is to cut one shlish. So the Achrayim said, what are they, crazy? That's not the bris milah. You just fold the orla back. That's not bris milah. You have to cut off 51%. And then if it becomes nimshach ha'orla sai, min ha'torah, it's good, it's only mitam ha'arasai. But if you just fold back the orla before you do it, when you're doing the probing, you fold back the orla, that's not cool. So the Pishchei Tshuva complains about this in Reish Samach Dal Sifkot and Yud Gimel. And the Munkacher complains a lot about this in his Sefer, Ois Bris Kodesh. They say that's ridiculous, that's not called Nimshu Chavos. They never did a Bris Mila in the first place. But that was apparently a common issue in Europe. We left out a lot of comments here and there, so maybe we'll go back a little bit. Reish Samach Vav, with the dinim, when you do a bris milah on Shabbos, so you only do a bris milah on Shabbos if it's a milah bismana. If it's a suffik milah bismana, you don't do it. It's vada milah shalai bismana, for sure you don't do it. What if you did a milah shalai bismana on Shabbos? The bris should have really been, the baby was born on Wednesday, and the bris should have really been on Wednesday. Instead of Wednesday, they couldn't get him out. So on Shabbos, the moel's traveling around. On Shabbos, the moel is home. He's going to do the bris on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to do that. That's a milush lo bizman. So the first Pishchei Tshuva, Reish Samach Vav, quotes Tshuvas Rabbi Kiveger, who has a whole pilpul, should I say, mitzvah ba b'aveira. Menchas Chinuch also has this pilpul. I remember when Rav Soloveitchik was given a shiur on the Menchas Chinuch, the mitzvah milo. So he got to this point, he didn't. He used to love the Menchas Chinuch as a child. He loved learning the Minchas Chinuch. He said that when his mother would tell him to go to sleep, he would always sneak in a Minchas Chinuch under the blankets and continue to learn. And before his bar mitzvah, he had already finished the whole Minchas Chinuch. He loved it because Minchas Chinuch gives you a hekif on Kol HaTorah Kula. And any given mitzvah, he'll schlep in a Gemara over there and a Gemara over there and show that it is connected, everything is interconnected by the Minchas Chinuch. So he loved it very much, but he was the Minchas Chinuch was the Galatiana. So the Galatiana had a different style of learning. So usually Menachas Chinuch doesn't write like a Galatiana. He writes a very strong Torah. Once in a while, he goes to that style of learning. So that's the Rabbi Soloveitchik, when he would come upon Menachas Chinuch that he didn't like. So he would say, Fortgivena Galatiana. Still, at the end of the day, he was still a Galatiana. So he didn't like this one. Then Menachas Chinuch asks, Rabbi Kiveger also has the discussion. He quotes Pishchei Tshuva Aleph. Reish Samach Vav, the quotes Rabbi Kiveger has it. Maybe I should say it should be a mitzvah b'aveira, and you're not going to the mitzvah bris milah. You have to do hatovas d'aveira. So he says against the b'feirushi Gemara in Shabbos. Gemara says black and white. If there were two babies, one was born on Friday, one was born on Shabbos. And then when it came to bris, by mistake, they did the bris on the baby that was born on Shabbos on Friday, milah toshmana, and the baby, toshmana. The baby that was born on Friday, by mistake, they did the bris on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, you did the bris on Shabbos, but even the bris is kosher. You're mechal Shabbos b'shogeg. You're chayv to bring a chatos, but even the bris is kosher. So nobody, you don't say that it's a mitzvah b'aveira. The question is, why not? So that's where Rabbi Kiveger has a bit of a pilpul on that. In those who learn like Rav Chaim, so they like to say over the Ritva on Sukkah. Rabbi Soloveitchik always said that the Ritva on Sukkah has a shita that the only time something is a mitzvah, what's the definition of a mitzvah b'aveira? So the Gemara gives the example, lulav hagozel. So the din is, if I steal something that's metaltlim, the ganaf acquires what we call a kini geneva. It says, the Gemara says, biyado means that the ganaf made a kini geneva. It's biyado, I did hagbor, I did meshicha, something, or kini chotzer. The ganav took the stole the animal and he had the animal walk into his backyard. So the ganav made a kinyan geneva on the animal. So whenever you have a lulav hagozel, says a chalashem gozel, there's a kinyan gezela. The din is what do you mean kinyan gezela? What's the significance of a kinyan gezela? Kinyan gezela, the din is usually, let's say you have an automobile, you have a rental place, you rent out automobiles. So I'm supposed to go and rent an automobile. I didn't make an agreement with you. I just took an automobile, I rode around, and then I bring it back. I didn't plan to steal it. I wanted to use it. So the din is, even though I never signed an agreement with you, that's a din. A person who uses someone else's property is mukhif to pay for his tamshus. Schiris, I rented. The Gemara has a discussion. What if you have, let's say you went on vacation and you locked up your apartment, and someone sneaks in through the window, I'm going to be away, let's say July and August, so someone sneaks in the window and he lives in my apartment for the 2 months, July and August. So does he have to pay the rent or not? I wasn't planning to rent out the apartment, so he's not mafsid me anything. So that's Zenen of Zala Chosem. He would have rented some other apartment. He would have had to pay rent to live in some other apartment. But I didn't plan to rent out my apartment. So that's a discussion in the Gemara and Bava Kamma, in the second parish. Does the chiyuv set in such a place, in such a situation? If you break my window, you're another mamasek, I suffer a hefsek, you have to pay the hefsek that you cause. If I lend you money, I sell you an automobile, you have to pay me. But over here, there's no hefsek, I didn't plan to rent out my apartment. So that's a shame. But if the apartment was going to be rented, and the guy climbs in through the window and he sneaks in, then he has to pay rent. So the Gemara says, but if I stole the automobile and I plan not to give it back, so then I get a kinyan gzeila. So since I have a kinyan gzeila, I'm potter from paying tashmish. It's considered shali, and the person who uses his own, it's not really his, it belongs to the nignav. But since I plan to steal it, so the ganav acquires kinyan gzeila, so that's one of the dinim of kinyan gzeila. The other dinim also, he kind of bishina, he kind of biyush. There are a lot of dinim based on kinyan gzeila. So mitzvah b'avera, the ritva explains that Reb Chaim Soloveitchik used to formulate it like this, that a chefta shal avera cannot be used as a chefta shal mitzvah. You want to use a lulav, but the lulav is called a lulav agozel. What do you mean it's a lulav? Why is it called a lulav agozel? Because it's metalplem and the ganav has kinyan gzeila on it. So you can't use a lulav agozel, or let's say, I'd say Asherah. Let's say people worship David Izara, and the thing is also Bahanua. If a person worships something and it becomes also Bahanua, so it has a Halashem Abed Izara on it. That's why it's also Bahanua. So it's called the Chefta Shal Avera. So a Chefta Shal Avera cannot be used as a Chefta Shal Mitzvah. But that's only by Medva Mamurim. If I stole something, I have Kinyan Ixela. Someone worshipped David Zara, has a Chalashem, Dovish al David Zara, that's why it's also about Noah. But if a guy's Mechal Shabbos, what's a Chepta Shalavera? What, the knife that you, the brisbane? Nothing, the knife doesn't change. But the baby's body, the Chepta Shalavera, there is no Chepta Shalavera. He did an Avera. He did an Avera that enabled him to fulfill the mitzvah. He was Mal the baby on Shabbos, that was a Malacha. Whatever the Malacha was, the three different opinions, whether Misak and Mana or Chavola, the bleeding, or Gozes, we had the different opinions what the malacha is, but there's some kind of a malacha involved. But there is no chefza shel aveir over here. So that's what the Ritva has a Gemara like that. That the only time there's a din of mitzvah baba aveir is if there's a chefza shel aveir. So it doesn't really apply over here. But then Rabbi Kivega has another tshuva. He quotes Pischei Tshuva Aleph and Reish Samavav. Quotes two tshuvas. Rabbi Kivega has another tshuva. We discuss as another issue. In the beginning of Tmura, there's a famous machlokes Abaye v'Rava. The two girsas, which way does Rava say? Usually when there's a machlokes Abaye v'Rava, so we pass on like Rava, except for the six cases of Yalkigam. So the question over here, we're going to pass like Rabbah, which way did Rabbah say? Did Rabbah hold Iyavid Mahani, Iyavid La Mahani? So that's a discussion in the Gemara. Milsa Dar Machmar La Sab. The Torah says you're not allowed to do something. And when you had, you did it. So do you say, since you did it, Bisa, it can't bring about a Haloisa? No, even though you did it Bavera, it can still bring about a Haloisa. That's what Rabbi Kevega discusses. Should I say over here, he did a bris mila on Shabbat, the Torah prohibited him from doing that. Maybe I should say, since he did an aveira, since he had no right to do the bris on Shabbat, so he shouldn't be able to bring about a chalois. Maybe I should say, iovid lanahani. That's also wrong. It's dead wrong, but the question is, why is it wrong? When you learn Hilcha Shechita, Rabbi Kevega refers you to learn Hilcha Shechita, so there's a Mishnah in the first Perek Nechula. Ashecha b'Shabbat Shechita Asek She'era, a person shechts a behemah on Shabbos, the shechita is good, even though the guy's chayiv misa, he's machal Shabbos ben meizah de b'hasra, it's chayiv misa. And you don't say, milsa damach mangal asabat yavid man. So that's the question, why not? So there's a famous explanation that Maharit gives, okay, that may or may not apply here. Rabbi Kevega discusses that. But in the recent years, Rabbi Chana Wasserman quotes from Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, and he's Sefer on Yavamas. Rabbi Chana wrote a Sefer on Yavamas, Kovetz Ha'oris. So he has all the Yeshivish Torah on Yavamas, he wrote down. So he quotes from Rabbi Chaim, what does it mean, Yavid Lamahani? So he explains it means like this. When you do a Maisa that needs Das Bailim to bring about a Chalois, and the Torah says you have no right to do that, you had no right to do it, so you're not a Bailam, you're not a Balabas to do that. So maybe you cannot call that Das Bailam. But over here, by Shech, a Malach on Shabbos, you need Das Bailam. You need Das Bailam to do a Bris Mila, you need Das Bailam. You're not a Bailam, you're not a Bailam Echlam. So the whole topic of the Avila Mahani shouldn't apply over here. Anyway, so that's famous. These two issues there. It's like a pilpul. The first piece chichur is a pilpul. Why don't you say Yavid Lamahani by one of those mila shalav yizman on Shabbos? And why don't you say mitzvah bavavir? They both don't apply. Yeah, the din, the Shulchan Aruch says the same din applies to Yontif, that's the Mishnah. You're not allowed to do a mila shalav yizman on Yontif. What if it's a suffix mila bizman and mila shalav yizman? So on Shabbos, it's only Decha Shabbos. If it's a mila, vaday mila bizman. If it's a baby is born ben hashmashes, a Friday night, a ben hashmashes on Mitzvah Shabbos, so you're not allowed to do the bris on Shabbos because it's a suffix mila bizman. What if it's, let's say, next week is Yontif? What's today? Today is Tuesday. So a baby's going to be born tonight. In between Tuesday and Wednesday, ben hashmashes after the Shkia. And next week, Tuesday and Wednesday, is going to be Yontif. So it's a suffix mila bizman mila shalav bizman. So the Shulchan Aruch says that even a suffix mila shalav bizman is not derech yantav. So there was a famous goen in the early 1900s, Rabitzala Panavezha. What was his name? Rabitzak Rabinowitz. His name was Rabinowitz. And when they made the yeshiva in Panavezh, they invited him to give the high yeshiva. He was the biggest Bal Mechadish in the generation, but he was so sharp, so he's famous that he made mistakes every so often. He was too sharp. They say in the biographies of the Chazon Ish was a young, he's a teenager, he wanted to go learn in a yeshiva. So he went to Panavish to see if he'd enjoy learning about Bitzala Panavish. So the yeshiva was on Kiddushin, and he was giving a shir on Ritzias Eved Ivri. So he was giving a whole shir. I thought like Abditzla Panavezha said, I would have said the same thing. It sounds from the Gemara that you have to do the Ritzia, and Eved Ivri remains an Eved for 6 years. So the last, let's say the 15th day of Sivan. I don't know what's today on the calendar, I don't know what we're up to. Let's say he was told the 15th day of Sivan. So when it comes 6 years later, the 14th day of Sivan, that's the last day in the 6th year. Eved Ivri is Yotze B'Shesh at the end of the 6 years. So what if he wants to remain after Shesha? You do Ritzia. You make a hole in the hard part of the ear, not in the soft part, in the cartilage of the ear, you make a hole. So when do you make the hole? So the simple reading of the Gemara, that's why Bitzel Aponovich said, you have to do a mamish the last minute in the 14th day of Sivan in the 6th year, when there's only less than a Shavuot Pruta's worth of work left to do. So the Chazon Ish, as a teenager, knew that that was wrong. I didn't realize that it was wrong. When I read the biography of the Chazon Ish, he realized it's wrong. Because there's a Mishnah in Shkolim where it says that Be'echad Be'od Reitzim Misavodim. Bezim would always make an announcement. Rosh Chodesh Adar, whoever has an Eved Ivri, and the Eved Ivri one plans to stay on, they should come to Bezim this coming Sunday, whatever. They're going to do the Ritzia and the Eved Ivri. Everybody brought that. Everybody purchased the Eved Ivri on the second day of Adar. So Rosh Chodesh Adar, 6 years later, is the last day in the 6th year. Not Mistaber. People buy an Eved Ivri in the course of the year, any day it happens to be. So you see from the Mishnah, the Ritzia doesn't have to be done. They put an announcement in the papers when they're going to do Ritzia. Mass production, they're going to do it at the same time. It doesn't have to be done mamish the last day of the Shesh. So the Chazon Ish was a shtikel chotzuf as a teenager. So the shiur took place in the Beis Medrash in Ponovich Yeshiva. So he took the Gemara, Psachim Hashkolim, printed in the end. He opened it up to the Mishnah. He walked to the front of the Beis Medrash, and Rabbi Yitzchak Ponovich had a Gemara Kedusha on the Shtender. So he put the Gemara Shkolim on top, and he walked up. So Rabbi Yitzchak looked at the Gemara, and he realized that what he said was wrong. The Mishnah said, they do Ritzia, and all the Avodim on the same day. It can't be. Everybody brought an Eved Ivri on the same day. So he apologized that the Shia was in great. So the Chazon Ish, this time, I caught him. Next time he's going to say something, I won't be able to catch him that he's wrong. So he didn't want to learn there. He had a lot of chidushim. So he had a chidush over here also that has not been accepted. It's against the Beferish Gemara. So he had a chidush. Not only are you permitted to do malacha on Yom Tov l'tzorach ha'chon, that's what it says in Chumash, l'tzorach ha'chon nefesh, it says that tzorach ha'yom k'tzas is also muta. So let's say, tzorach ha'chon nefesh, I expect guests to come over. So let's say on Shavuos, I expect guests. And we ran out of cookies. So I'm going to bake some cookies. So I'm figuring how many guests are going to come. Possibility that 7 guests may come to visit, and each guest may eat 4 cookies. So I'm only going to bake 7 times 4, 28 cookies, that's all. And what if someone wants an extra cookie? So I'm going to bake a couple of extras, just in case, a suffix. They may not come, the guests may not come, and even if they do come, they may not eat, they may yes me, we're not sure. So Sofek Oichon Nefesh is also Mutter. So not only is Oichon Nefesh Mutter, the Mishnah says, Mitoch Shuch, with a Soch Oichon Nefesh, with a Rabbi, the Tzorach Hayam Ktas, if you have a Tzorach Mitzvah. So it should be, there's a Sofek Mitzvah. So even if you have a Sofek Mila Bizmana, it's a Sofek, maybe it's Mila Bizmana, maybe it's not. The baby was born Bein Hashmashes. So the next week is going to be Yontem. So in the Shulchan Aruch it says, not like him, in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah Mola Rishonim, say the Beferish that he's wrong. Not only the Rishonim, it's a Beferish Gemara. But it's not where it belongs. It's not a Gemara on Shabbos. It's in Chulin, I think. It's a Beferish Gemara that a Sofik Milo Bismana is not the Chiyanta. So Rabbi Tzolot Ponovich was of the opinion against all the Rishonim that a Sofik Milo Bismana is Tzorach Hayom Ktas. Because maybe. So we don't accept that opinion. He was known for his original Chidushim. They tell a story that once Rav Chaim held very much from Rabbi Tzolot Ponovich. He was the biggest Baal Mechadesh of the generation. When Rav Shmuel Salant lived in Yerushalayim, he was head of the Bezna of the Ashkenazim. Eretz Yisrael always had Sfardim. Then in the late 1800s, Ashkenazim started to move in. The early 1800s, late 1800s, Ashkenazim started to move in. So they had the Vadas of the Eidach Haredes was for the Ashkenazim. So when Rav Shmuel Salant was getting old, so he said they should get an assistant rabbi, get someone else to take over. So it was a whole pilpul who they should take. So Rav Chaim thought they should take Rabbi Tzolot Ponovich, because we must have mentioned it on different occasions, because they had a lot of rabbonim from Europe. When they would retire, they would move to Yerushalayim, and they had a lot of Moira Hara who knew how to pass Kanshailas. Rav Chaim thought that they need someone who knows how to say a knockout shiur. That's why he wanted Rabbi Tzolot Ponovich to go. It didn't turn out like that. Rabbi Tzolot didn't go. So then the end of the story, the Aderis went. Aderis went in 1902. And then 4 years later, he died. And Shmuel Salant was still alive. He lived to a very old age. So that was his chiddush that was not accepted. It's against the Gemara. Yeah. If there's the Mishnah says, Milu Shalai Bizmana is not Deche Yontav Shal Rosh Hashanah. Not Deche Yontav either. That's not called Tzarech HaYom Ktzas. It's not today's mitzvah. And it's not even Deche Yontav Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah. What about any other Yontav Sheni Shal Gol? So we said, that's Machlokes, is the Rosh and the Rambam. So the Shach, Paskin is like the Rambam, that you're permitted to do Milu Shalai Bizmana on any Yontav Sheni. And the accepted opinion is not like the Shach. Pesach Jew is a generally accepted opinion, it is not some. That not only Yantav Sheni, the Mishnais were composed and edited in Eretz Yisrael. You don't know, so he lived in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, the only Yantav Sheni that they have is Rosh Hashanah. So that's all the Mishnah talks about is Yantav Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah. What about if it's another Yantav Sheni Shal Golias? That's only a Chutz Lord. So that was a machlokes. So the Shach is makel like the Rambam. Any other Yantav Sheni, you should do a bris even if it's Milush Lodisman. And the generally accepted opinion is not like the Shach. The Pischei Tshuva here quotes some Achronim who have a Lashon that, look, Yantav Sheni today is only a minig. So they think it's they think we should do like the Shach. So that's highly questionable whether that's correct. If he has this... Where is it again? Yantav Sheni Shal Golias, a long piece of is cut in Zion. And very Samachvav. So he quotes one of the and says, look, Yantav Sheni is only a minik, so we should really follow the Shach who follows the Ramam, that you should do the Milu Shalai Bizmana. So that's not the muskim at all. The Lashon HaGemara is, when they established the Luach during the lifetime of Abai Verava, Abai Verava lived in Babel, their counterparts in Eretz Yisrael, Lehila Lasheni, and Rabbi Yudin Nasi was the grandson of Rabbi Yudin Nasi. So they were the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael who established the Luach. So at that time, Shaila was, now that we have a Luach, and we know when Yontav is going to be for the next 5,000 years, we know an advancement. We don't have to wait, so there's no longer Sveik of the Yemen. Should we still continue to observe Yantav Sheni Shal Golias? So they sent back a message, Shalch Mitam, sent a message from Eretz Yisrael to Bolvel, Hizorab the Minig Avasech Medech, we should still continue to observe Yantav Sheni Shal Golias. So Taisvis in Sukkah and Dap and Vav, Taisvis understood the Gemara to mean that observance of Yantav Sheni today is only a Minig. And the Ran and men, and the Ran and the Ran and many Rishonim say, no, that's not what it means. Hizar b'minig avasech means we paskin, it's a psak med rabbanon. You should continue the practice of your forefathers. Minig doesn't mean it's a minig, a custom. It means we're telling you, med rabbanon, you have to observe the practice of your ancestors. But the word minig doesn't always mean custom. Sometimes it means practice. So that's a big shaila. We assume Yantav Sheni is not a minig. How can it be a minig? You don't wear tefillin a Yantav Sheni. If Yantav Sheni is a din the rabbanis, I say yesh kach yachacham lakadam minatar b'shei ve'al tase. They don't want people to do malacha, so they said don't wear tefillin on Yantav Sheni. But if you say Yantav Sheni is only a minik, how can you say because we want to observe a minik, so therefore you put them from wearing tefillin? How can that be? On the if you assume maybe the premise is incorrect. If you assume that the zechiyah minatar to lake tefillin once a day, every day at least for 2 minutes. Could be that assumption is not correct. Could be that you're mechuyev to wear tefillin all day and all night, whenever possible. And we cut it down to the bare minimum. So who says that there's a din you have to wear yant? Who said that's what the Soloveitchik family holds like that? Mm-hmm. Soloveitchik and their cousins in Eretz, so that's their version of the story. That there's no such din and you have to wear tefillin once a day, every day. If the din would have been laila lavzman tefillin min ha-toira, so then every day there's an uchi of tefillin. But when Mikra then we pass on Laila is man tefillin. Mikra then he's supposed to wear tefillin all day and all night. But he's not allowed to wear tefillin at night. The rabbanik zeir shem yishem behem shem yafiach behem. That's why. But when I tell you wear tefillin all day and all night, just Shabbos and Yantar Yapata. So who says that there's a chiyuv that you have to wear tefillin once a day every day? Maybe the whole premise is not correct. Okay, that's a question. But we don't really assume like that. That Yantav Sheni Shal Golias is only a minik, Pashtus is not so. And then we mentioned that Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva here, that if a baby is born, let's say, Bein HaShemashes, the week before Yom Tov, baby's born on Wednesday, so that Bein HaShemashes, though, on Wednesday. So next week, if you do the bris on Wednesday, and maybe it's a mila bismana, maybe it's a mila shaloi bismana. So the Nadi Yehuda says he thinks that's muta mitam svek sveka. Maybe it's a mila bismana, and even if it's a mila shaloi bismana, maybe the din is like the Rambam, that only mila shaloi bismana is not allowed only on Rosh Hashanah, because it's yayma richta, but any other yantam shen shagoli is mila shaloi bismana is mutam. So that's the Pesachei Tshuva quotes that Nadi Yehuda. So they tell the story that the Chassam Sofer wants to be Mekel even on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Second day of Rosh Hashanah, you don't have such a Svek Sveka. Because second day of Rosh Hashanah, if it's a Milush Lebizmana, the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do. Only second day, Yantav Sheni Shagol is Yad Pesach Shavu Sukkot. That's Machlok is the Rosh and the Ram. The second day of Rosh Hashanah is the Ferish in the Mishnah, both on Mishnah and Erechen, the same Mishnah and Shabbos. And Berakah Blizzard, the Mila Mishnah and Erechen, that sometimes you have to postpone the bris because of the Sofek, you can't do on Yom Tov Rishon, Yom Tov Sheni. So on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, you don't have the Nadi Yehuda Svek Sveka. So the Chassam Sofer, I think, suggested that you still have a Svek Sveka, that what? Maybe it's a Mila Vizmana, maybe it's not. Even if it's a Mila Shalev Vizmana, maybe the second day of Rosh Hashanah is Chol. Still a Svek of the Yom. So that's a question whether that's correct or not. So the story goes that Rabbi Aaron Kotler once gave a shiur in the yeshiva, and he was very on Shabbos. He was in New York all week long. He came to yeshiva on Shabbos. So he said with a big chutzpah, he has a veferish arrive on the Gemara against the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer is wrong. In fact, they printed it like that. They wrote up the Talmidim, wrote up the shiur. Mishnas Rabbaran, they wrote up a lot of shiur and Rabbi Aaron Kotler said that's the way they printed it like that. And then by Shalda Shudas, after the shear, when he cut the challah with a knife, he accidentally cut his finger and he started bleeding. And he felt that that was a punishment why he spoke such chutzpahdik language against the Chassam Sofer. But the Talmidim printed it like that. They printed it exactly the way he said. So that's a question. If next week is going to be Rosh Hashanah, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, would you be Mekel? The Mishnah has, if it's a Mila Shalai Bizmana, it's not Derche Yantam Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't have a case. What if next week it's a Sufik Mila Bizmana on the second day of Rosh Hashanah? Can you apply the same Svek Sveka that Nadi Yehuda has on every other Yantam Sheni? So the same Svek Sveka you can't. You can't say maybe Mila Shalai Bizmana Mutta on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Instead of the Ferish, it's not. But he was talking, maybe the second day is. Maybe the second day is Chol. If it's a Sufik, Mila Bizmana, maybe it's a Svek Svek. So that's an issue. We spoke before about probing. Before the Moel does the Bris Mila, so he takes a piece of metal and he separates between the Or or Orla and the Gid, so it won't be sticking together. There's always gook over there. So Rabbi Gifter used to have a taina that how are they allowed to do the probing on Shabbos? It's not the actual bris mila itself. It's only machshirei mila. The actual bris mila is the cutting off of the orla. Here, this is going to cause bleeding. When you do the probing, it causes a little bleeding. So you could have done the probing on Erev Shabbos. They do the probing on Erev Shabbos, but then they do it again on Shabbos. So he had a taina. They should have done a better job of probing on Erev Shabbos, and then on Shabbos it wouldn't cause any bleeding at all. But why shouldn't it be considered machshirei mila she'ev shalasas mebod yom? That's how we pass our blazer. That was machlokes of blazer ben Hurkin, blazer gadol, and Rabbi Kiva was a talmud of Rabbi Blazer. So Rabbi Blazer held that's perik of blazer de mila. Rabbi Blazer gadol was of the opinion. You're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, even Shabbos and Yom Tov. You're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for a Mila Bizmana, not only for the actual Bris Mila, even to manufacture a knife. The Gemara says in the city where a blazer, that's Kuf Laman Amalav, the first daf in Perek, a blazer in the Mila, the Matzecha Shabbos. So it says But Mikol Moshe Rav Lezer in his village, when a baby would be born on Shabbos and the bris is scheduled for next Shabbos, they would break off branches from a tree, make a fire, and melt metal, and manufacture a knife, and carry the knife in the street to the location where the bris is, to demonstrate how chaviv the mitzvah milah is, that it's Deicha Shabbos, not only the actual milah, even all the machshirei milah. Reb Lezer was outvoted, but Reb Moshe Rav Lezer, he was the Mar Dasra, so the Balabatim, even years after he passed away, they still continued to follow his psukim. The Gemara has also Reb Moshe Rav Yosef Glili. Yosef Glili was of the opinion that chicken and milk is not awesome in our Torah, it's only meat and milk, and it doesn't make sense to make it awesome in the Rabbanon. Everybody knows the difference between chicken and meat. So Reb Moshe Rav Yosef Glili, not only while he was alive, even years after he died, many years after he died, they used to eat chicken cooked in milk because they followed the Maradasu. That's the Ikka Din. Whenever there's a machlokes, so the Talmidim of Beis Shammai mechuyev to follow Beis Shammai. Talmidim of Rav Lezer mechuyev to follow Rav Lezer. Those who are neither Talmidim of Rav Lezer nor Reb Yeshua, so then you follow the majority opinion. It's Acharam Lahapas. But those who are Talmidim of his, you don't say Acharam Lahapas. They have a Rebbe Muvit, so they follow his psukim. That's the Hadarish. Has a whole long essay about that. That the Ikka that had a Paskin Shalmas. He quotes, he starts off with that Gemara. The Ikka Din is you have to follow Rabbi Muvok, your Rebbe. And if you don't have any Rebbe, so the Gdolei Hador have the status of Rabbi Muvok. Okay, has a long Arichas on that. So that was Rabbi Giftis Taina. Why did all the Moelim do the probing on Shabbos? They should have done a better job on Erev Shabbos. So it's a Chilul Shabbos. Whenever you cause bleeding, it's going to be a Chilul Shabbos. And it's Epshel Lasses Mebodyom. Is it really that's a question. When you do the probing on Shabbos, is it really a Psik Reishei? Maybe it's a Dobashein and Miskaveh. If they do it slowly and carefully, it may not cause any bleeding. Most of the time, it will cause bleeding. Even if you did the probing on Erev Shabbos, most of the time, it will cause bleeding. That's not called a Psik Reishei. If it's a suffix, it may or may not cause bleeding. That's called Dobshen Miskaben. So Dobshen Miskaben is wheat paskin is Mutaram Shabbos. Then there's a big discussion, famous discussion. There's a knife on Shabbos is not Mutar. What if you have a knife that's miuchad for shechting animals? He can't shecht on Shabbos. In the base on the English, they shecht kabbanis. So you can't say the knives are mukta. It's muchan to use it on Shabbos. Shechitas kabbanis is mukta on Shabbos. It's mana kavua. But let's say you have a knife in a slaughterhouse that's miyuchat for shechting behemoth. So it's a klisha malachta le'iser, but it's called malachta le'iser. If you have it, let's say you have a hammer or a screwdriver. So ruba, the hammer is used to bang nails. Sometimes you have a nut. That's what to crack. So you use the hammer to crack the nut. Sometimes you might have a pickle jar and it's sealed so tightly you can't open it. So you bang with the hammer. Or the screwdriver usually is used to unscrew nails. That's a malacha. Once in a while I use the screwdriver to open up a bottle or something. So that's roi malachta liyisa, mir malachta lehetta. That's a dinner, klisha malachta liyisa. But if you have a kli that's called malachta liyisa, then there are more quotes of Rabbi Natan. We have it in Tosfos a little unclear. If you look in the Oros HaRuah, it's more explicit. Rabbi Natan Shita, and there are more quotes of Lalocha. A kli shekol malach tali yisir has a status like mukta. Well, let's say you have a kli that's malach tali yisir, and it's a precision instrument like years ago, a cell phone. Now they let all the children play with the cell phones because they can buy another cell phone for $50. Not a big deal. But years ago, it used to be an expensive thing. You have a typewriter or something. It's malach taliyisa, and your makbid, it's a precision instrument. It's going to use it for some other purpose. They may break it. That's an expensive thing. So that's called muktzah machmas chisor and kis because you're afraid that they may break it. So then it becomes called malach taliyisa. It's called malach taliyisa. You treat it like muktzah. That's the shaili. You have an izemel shel mila. You have a special knife, just like the shechet has a special knife that he reserves to shecht the behema, and he's makben not to let anybody use it to cut the challah, to cut meat with. He's afraid they're going to make a pigim on the knife. So too for the Bris Milah, they have a special, very sharp Yizamul Sham Nila. But what's the din on Shabbos? So, okay, so it's Muktzah, so what's the issue? What's the din if you had a Bris on Shabbos? So you're allowed to use the knife for the purpose of, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for the purpose of doing Bris Milah. So you're certainly allowed to be in violation of Tilta Muktzah. What after the Bris is over? Are you allowed to still, after the Moel finishes doing the Bris, usually he puts down the knife for a moment and he puts on a bandage to stop the bleeding. So then the question is he allowed to pick up the knife now? Now he doesn't need the knife for Mila. Is he allowed to pick up the knife and put it away somewhere? So the Ramah says yes, since the Ramah in Reish Samach Vav Sid Beis, since in the beginning of Shabbos, before the Bris, it was not Muktzah. So there are two rules. Migadis Katzoda Ben Ashmoshes, it's Katzoda, or whatever was Muktzah at the beginning of Shabbos, remain Muktzah throughout. And Migadolois Katzoda, whatever was not Muktzah in the beginning of Shabbos, does not become Muktzah in the middle of Shabbos. Yeah. So where is that din? So that's a Gemara Shabbos, Kuf Chav Dalet on the base, the last line, and the top line of Kuf Chav Eim at Aleph. The Gemara has a din like this, that I think we spoke about a little bit. Let's say a person has old clothes, he has clothes that are not so torn a little bit here and there. He can't afford to buy new clothing. Then he finds out in the middle of Shabbos, he just won the sweepstakes. So he takes all of his clothes and he throws them in the garbage. He's wearing one suit. Everything else he throws in the garbage. So the Gemara says it does not become muktzah. The question is, why not? So you look in the Rishonim there, they give two pshatim. The one pshat is that Ben Ashmashas Abtchilat Shabbos is Koveya Lekula and Lechumer. Whatever was muktzah Ben Ashmashas remains muktzah throughout. Whatever was not muktzah Ben Ashmashas does not become muktzah in the middle of Shabbos. What happens if you have a bottle and a glass bottle? And the bottle smashes in the middle of Shabbos into little tiny particles, tiny smithereens. So then it becomes muktzah. Yeah, because it broke. It's a different chefetz. At the beginning of Shabbos it was a bottle, and now it's a piece of junk. So junk is muktzah. That's the original muktzah is junk. But over here it's the exact same suit that it was in the beginning of Shabbos. Nothing changed. But since migad alayis katzah ben ashmashes, alayis katzah lekuli yami. You have such a din by Eirei Chatzeiros also. Is it in Shabbos Hol v'Hutra? Hutra, Shabbos Hol v'Nesra, Nesra. Let's say you have two apartments near each other. Different families live in the two apartments. They're not allowed to carry from one to the other. That's Gzeirah Shleima HaMelech. You're not allowed to carry from Rishus HaYochad Shel Reuven to Rishus HaYochad Shel Shimon. So let's say in the middle of Shabbos, the wall falls down, separating between the two apartments, and they're going to use everything as one big apartment. So just because it became one apartment, it doesn't become mutter. Since Betchilas HaShabbos, it was also Shabbos Hol v'Nesra Nesra. In the reverse, let's say in the beginning of Shabbos, you had two boats that were tied up to each other, and they made an Eruv Chatzeres to carry from one boat to the other. Each boat was built in such a way, it's not a raft. Each boat is a whole Rishus HaYochad. But then in the middle of Shabbos, the knots untie, and the boats float apart from each other. So if the boats are not attached, and Erev Shabbos, you can't make an Eruv B'Chatzeres to carry from one to the other. But if they were tied together, and you made an Eruv B'Chatzeres, and then in the middle of Shabbos, the sailors, the Goyish sailors, untie them. Now they're floating separately. You're still allowed to carry from one to the other. Shabbos Hol v'Hutra Hutra. So some Rishonim say that that's Pshat in the Gemara. These suits that I threw in the garbage in the middle of Shabbos when I found out that I won the sweepstakes, I don't have to wear these ragged suits anymore. I'm going to go to the store tomorrow. I'm going to buy all brand new suits. So since in the beginning of Shabbos, it wasn't muktzah, so it doesn't become muktzah in the middle of Shabbos. And other Rishonim learn the Pshat and the Gemara differently. That's not why. There is no such thing. Whatever was not muktzah in the beginning of Shabbos cannot become muktzah in the middle of Shabbos. But the reason is different over here. The guy has suits. He was wearing these suits for the last couple of years. They're good suits. Not so fancy. They're torn here and there. They're not the nicest quality. Not so expensive. So then in the middle of nowhere he throws it. Just because he's a multimillionaire now and it's not right for him to wear such poor suits, he takes them and throws them in the garbage. So that's batlodat, so that's called benyam. So the Shanim have two different explanations there. Why the Gemara says it cannot be. Elamiyata, if what you said is correct, the Gemara says on the last line of Kuf Chavdal and on the base in Shabbos, Elamiyata Zarek Leklimi La'ashpa, if he throws his suits into the garbage, you say, you're going to say it becomes mukta. So they're two different shot. So the Ramah here seems to be going with the Shita. Whatever was not mukta in the beginning of Shabbos cannot become mukta in the middle of Shabbos unless it changed, unless it broke. Let's say you had a suit in the beginning of Shabbos, then someone ripped up the suit and the tiny little piece. Now it's shmatas. So now it's not a suit. But if the suit is the same, just threw it in the garbage. So the Ramah is assuming that something doesn't become mukta in the middle of Shabbos. And others, other Achronim disagree with this Ramah. A lot of Achronim, the Taz disagrees with the Ramah, and he says, no, it was Muktzah at the beginning of Shabbos. It was a klisha komal achta liyisa, and it was only Mutter for the purpose of Bris Milah. And after the Bris is over, it reverts back to become Muktzah, like before. So that's a big question. That's a big machlokes. And then there's a further question. If you assume that after you put the knife down, you're not allowed to pick it up again to put it away because it reverts back to become mukta. It was only there was a head to b'shas ma'isa. So the shayla is, what about kol zman that he's holding it? Let's say a person by mistake left a hammer on the dining room table. He's supposed to set the table on Erev Shabbos. So the person leaves a hammer and a screwdriver. He leaves pens and pencils on the table on Erev Shabbos. That's the mitzvah to prepare for Shabbos. The two mitzvahs, Medivya Kabbalah, in the Navi Yishayah, Kibud V'yonig. So Kibud the Bir Agron, Hilchas Yontav, Mishnah Berurah points out the Bir Agron, Hilchas Yontav, has this coming. It doesn't have an Hilchas Shabbos, it has an Hilchas Yontav. What's the definition of Kibud, what's the definition of V'yonig? So the Bir Agron says all the preparations that you do in advance of Shabbos and Yontav, that's called Kibud. When you vacuum the rug, and you set the table, and you take a shower, put up the challah, you get dressed, look up the Shabbos, that's called Kibud. Anointing is the fact that you enjoy eating the cholent on Shabbos. You enjoy having the table set so nicely. Enjoy the fact that the carpet is clean. There's no junk on the floor and so on. The fact that you enjoy it. So you're supposed to set the table before Shabbos. So let's say they didn't set the table. It wasn't a kind kibbutz. And he left pens and pencils on the table. And it's in the way because they want to put plates on the table. They want to put forks and knives. They want to put svarim on. The hammer with the screwdriver with the pens and the pencils. It's not mukta, it's klisha malach deliyisa. So, klisha malach deliyisa, there's a machlek and satanayim, we paskin, you're permitted to move it, let's or gufa, let's or mekoma. This is the tzorch mekoma. It's in the way, you don't want to have the hammer and the screwdriver on the table. So, you pick it up from the table, then you have to drop it immediately on the floor. So, Tosfos and Beitza approves from the Gemara, once you picked it up, the heter is not going to make it a bigger iser if I carry it all the way to the, I have a whole apartment, I'm going to carry it six rooms down in the hallway and put it where it belongs, in the shed, where I have all the other tools. It doesn't belong on the floor in the dining room. So once you had a heter, you picked it up, the heter, and you carry it, and you're taking it off of the table, so you're allowed to carry it and put it away where it belongs. So the Ramah, that's called in Shulchan Aruch, the Tosfos proof in the Gemara. So the Ramah says, what if by mistake a person is handling mukta on Shabbos, real mukta, handling some, he has money in his pocket. Money is considered real mukta, it's not a klisha malach deliyisa. So he's carrying money in his hand, and then his watch stopped. He thought it's still there on Shabbos. Then he finds out he's carrying the money on Shabbos in the house. So the Ramah says, he doesn't have to drop the money right away. It's all one long tiltle. He's allowed to keep on walking until he puts it where it belongs. It doesn't belong in the dining room, doesn't belong in the kitchen, wherever he puts the money in a drawer. So he's allowed to go from one room to the other. So that's what the Ramor writes in Hilchas Erev Shabbos. Here there's a long Bi'ur Agro. In the beginning of Reish Samavah, the Bi'ur Agro they're unusually long. And he disagrees with that Ramah. He says that's in the Mishnah Berurah code, so a lot of Achronim disagree. So they actually gave a whole shiur on this, why they disagree. They explain why. He presented it even fancier than the way they said, that if it's mukta mamish, you don't have such a head. And so that's what some say over here, that the izamol shamila is mukta, is only mukta to handle it with sort of the bris milah. And after the bris is over, you're not allowed to handle that anymore, not like the Ramah. And even if he's still holding it biyad, since it's mukta mamish, it's worse than the klisha malach taliyasa, because it's called malach taliyasa. It's a mukta mamish chisarin kiss. It's a precision instrument, and the mohel doesn't want anybody to use it for any other purpose other than performing bris milah. So since it's mukta mamish, you don't have the heter, that once it's still in your hand, you're allowed to move it wherever you want. So that the Mishnah Berurah there in Hilchas Erev Shabbos, when the Ramah talks about this, fellow's carrying money in his hand in the house, not in the street. He's carrying money in his hand in the house that he doesn't have to drop it right away. He can, it's one long tilt though. So there the Mishnah Berurah quotes all the Achronim who disagree. Then there's a further machlokes in Achronim. What's the din of Muktzah Machmas Chisor and Kis? Is that a form of Muktzah? Because it's called Malach Talisa. Or maybe I should say it's really a chumrah within a din of tiltul kelim. Maybe it's really a din of tiltul klisha malach taliyisa, but it doesn't have the hateri. But maybe it's not muktzah. Maybe it's not the same as muktzah. That's a further machlokes. Anyway, this is a famous cause celebre. Yeah. Then Achronim discuss over here. The Moel knows he has a bris on Shabbos. He plans to use this Zemul Shamil on Shabbos. He plans to use it if you have hachana. Let's say in the days of the Gemara, they didn't have toilet paper. So they used to use little pebbles to wipe themselves off. Or let's say in Eretz Yisrael years ago, I don't think they do it anymore. When people are driving the cars, when Jewish people are driving the cars on Shabbos, so some of the kanoim will throw stones at the car. So the stones are muktzah, so they're mazman, the stones in advance. The mazman, the stones in advance, like the pebbles that you want to use for the Beis HaKisei. So what's the din? If you have something that's mukta, you mazman in advance. So there's a Ramban, Amasech HaShabbos, in the Mulchamas, on the bottom of the page of the Rif, where the Ramban explains, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Ramban explains, based on Gemara, there are two kinds of being mazman. Let's say there are gigantic boulders. The Gemara says, Rabbeinu Al-Nasi was once traveling with the Talmidim, and they got stuck in a location on Erev Shabbos. So on Erev Shabbos, they moved the boulders, the gigantic boulders. They moved them in such an arrangement that Rebbe would give a shiur on Shabbos afternoon, and everybody would be sitting on the boulders. So the boulders are avonim. They didn't do anything to change the shape of the boulder. They didn't make it into a chair. It's still a boulder. They're not going to stay there permanently. After Shabbos up, they're going to leave, and it's going to be a boulder in the desert. So that was only a hachone, despite the fact that the boulder, Eitzim Abana Biofer, Eitzim Abana Biofer is Muktzim Achmas Gufa, Muktzim Achmas Atzma. Despite the fact that the boulders, the big stones, Muktzim, you mazmen it, you plan to use it. Let's say the little stones that they're going to use for the Beis HaKisei, the pebbles remain pebbles, it remains Muktzim, but I plan to use it. On Yom Tov. Well, let's say you have a sack of offer, and you're going to shech the chicken on Yom Tov, and you're supposed to do Kisei Adam. So you're mazmen the offer to do Kisei Adam. The offer becomes a kli. The offer is still offer. It says you do Kisei Adam v'chiso v'shochet as dama v'chiso b'offer v'shofach as dama v'chiso b'offer. You cover it offer. You don't make it into something other than offer. You mazman the offer for the purpose of doing kisei adama. You mazman the avonim for the purpose of using it for Pesach kisei, whatever. So then Ramban says, it remains muktzah, but you have a het to tiltul for that purpose, or for any other purpose, equally important, or more important. Another hishtamsha is less important. It remains muktzah. The Gemara has such an expression in Adin, in the first Perek in Beitzah. If you have logs that you're going to throw into, on Shabbos you're not allowed to throw logs into the fire. But on Yom Tov, if you're cold or if you want to cook some food, that's included in Eichel Nefesh. You want to keep warm. So if you can't be Moel Eresh Mechodesh, you can't strike a match on Yom Tov. But if you have a fire burning in the furnace and it's about to go out, so you're allowed to throw in more logs. So you have to be mazman the logs in advance. So the logs remain logs. The logs remain Eitzim. It remains muktzah. So you're only allowed to use the logs for that hishtamshus, to throw it into the fire, to cook, or to throw it into the fire, to keep people warm, or for equally important or more important. If it's a less important hishtamshus, the logs remain muktzah. That's one kind of hachana. Then there's another kind of hazmana. Let's say you have penny loafers. So it means you have loafers, and then there's a slit in the front, and you take a penny and you put it inside. So the penny blends in to be part of the shoe. So it becomes ois mukta, it becomes part of the shoe. It's not mukta anymore. You're allowed to can move the shoe. The shoe is a klisha malach tal heter. You're allowed to move the shoe, mechama latzel also, even though it has the money in it. The money is not considered money anymore. It's part. Well, let's say, in the days of the Tanoim, they used to have a well, and they used to lower a bucket that was tied to a rope on top. Is to lower the bucket, but the bucket was made from wood, so the wood is going to float on top of the water in the well. So how are you going to draw any water? So they used to tie a big slab of stone on the bottom of the bucket, so that when you lower it, the guy lives on the third floor. He leans out the window and he lowers the bucket, so the heavy stone that's tied onto the top, that's called Evan Shedikirvio. Kirvio is the wooden bucket, and the Evan is what you tie down on the bottom. Evan Shedikirvio blends in to become part of the bucket, so it's no longer moved. So you're allowed to handle the bucket for all purposes, not only for such an important purpose, equally important to drain water, or more important, even less important. The bucket is not mukta, the stone that you tie to the bucket. That's what the Ramban has. The two, and it's quoted Laloch and Shulchan Aruch, the two kinds of hachone, on something that's mukta. So here, if you have the Yizemel Shomilo and you plan to use it in advance, true, you were mazmanet. Let's say there's a minig that's quoted here and in Hilchos Shabbos also, based on the Zohar. There's a very old minig from the days of Nigoinim, based on a passage in the Zohar. The minig existed way before they discovered the Zohar. They discovered the Zohar during the lifetime of the Ramban, the manuscript of the Zohar. But the minig was from the days of the Gaim. The Pasuk says in Parshas Balak, Mimono Afar Yaakov, Umisparas Rova Yisrael. Who can count all the offer? Mimono Afar Yaakov, what Afar Yaakov? So Bilam HaRosha said, who can count the Jewish people have so many babies, and every time they have a bris, they cut off the orla and they matmin the orla ba offer. This was an old minig, they still do it today. You have a little container full of offer, sand, and you put the orla into the offer. So, but offer is muktzah. How do you do that on Shabbos? So you put away the orla and then you do it on Mitzvah Shabbos. So the Gaonim say no. It says in Shulchan Aruch here and in Hilchus Shabbos, you mazmin the offer in advance, but the offer remains offer. It doesn't become a kli. That's the din. Like if you mazmin offer to do Kisei Adam, it remains offer, remains muktzah, but as a heta tilto, for that purpose or for more important purposes. Here the Pischei Tshuva has a discussion. What if the Moyel, he cuts off the Or Horlo, and he doesn't have the bowl with the offer near him. So he puts down the Orlo on a table, and then later on he wants to pick up the Orlo, his book, a piece of junk. What do you do with the Orlo? A piece of junk. So he wants to pick up the Orlo later and put it into the container. As the so Kozman, he did the bris milah and he's holding the orla. So they assume like the Ramah, he's holding the muktze. He started off doing it beheter. So then he's allowed to put it into the container with the offer. But if he already put it down, is he allowed to pick it up in order to fulfill this meaning? That's a tzorach. That's such a great tzorach. So the Pischei Tshuva quotes, yeah, we want to fulfill the old meaning. So that's an important tzorach. What if you have twins? I have a daughter who has two sets of twin boys. What if you have twins? What do you do? So it says, you try to minimize, let's say a person has a whole meal. So he's going to wash and say hamaitzi. He's going to eat half the meal and bench. Then he's going to wash again, say hamaitzi, and eat the second half of the meal, bench the second time. That's a bracha shein etzvicha. You could have covered the whole meal with one washing and one hamaitzi and one benching. You're not allowed to be going bracha shein etzvicha. It's not a bracha about tola. Once you bench, that's esr hadas. Then you're mechuyev to wash again. You want to eat the second half of the meal. But your decision to break the meal into two parts wasn't, there's no tzorach to break it in half. So that's Garm Baruch Hashem Tzvicha. So if you have two brisen, whether they're twins or they're two different families, it doesn't make a difference. If you have two brisen on the same day, in the same location, if one is in Brooklyn, one is in Manhattan, so you got no choice, you got to say a separate bracha. But if they have, if you have two brisen in the same place, so the Shulchan Aruch says here in Reish Samach Hey, Reish Samach Hey Sifei, you should really cover everything with one bracha. That's more correct. So that's the Mechaber and the Ramah. They say you should really cover everything with one bracha. One bracha before, one bracha after, Kiddush Yedid Mibet. And then the Shach quotes the Maharshal, who says, no, it's not going to work, because there's going to be a lot of hepsik. There's going to be a lot of talking. Till it, even if you have the both babies there, it's going to have to take off the diaper from the second baby. It's going to be hepsikim. So it's better to make a hafsok in between. So there are different minhagim today. So the common practice is that usually it's by twins, usually when you have twins. So the common practice is you do one bris, and the Aviyah Ben says Adrosha. They give droshas in the middle for 20 minutes. And then you do the second bris. So there's a whole Hesach Hadas. They were talking for 20 minutes in between. And Rabbi Yashiv thought that it's not right. You should do the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. Tell all the people they shouldn't talk. There shouldn't be mafsik in between. More correct is to avoid having a bracha shein and tzvichon. But that's the Shulchan Aruch has like that. And the Shach quotes the Marshal and says, nonsense. During the COVID, it was a common, there was a concern that you're going to spread the COVID disease. So even though we usually recommend that you should have a minyan by a bris, but if it's going to be too difficult, so then you don't need a minyan. That's in Shulchan Aruch. So we have a cloud of Shas HaTchakir, you have a dummy. When you have a Shas HaTchakir, you're afraid of a contagious disease. So you're allowed to do a l'chatchila, which usually is only permissible b'di'evit. So they have a lot of brisin, but they didn't have a minyan. Usually there's a din, you're not allowed to recite a bracha, can they get erva? There's a man or a woman who's undressed, the eva or erva is exposed, you're not allowed to say a bracha. So when the moel says the bracha ala mila, does he have to cover over the baby's orla? He's holding on to the orla. So the Shulchan Aruch has that, and Reish Samach Hei, Sivches, Ein Soch L'chassus Erva Sakot, M'shas HaBrocha, is not necessary. So that's a big question, why not? So some say, until a child, until a boy is 9 years old, there's not Roy Labia. And if it's not Roy Labia till the age of nine, then it's not called the Eva HaLeidah. So then it's not called Orla. So you're allowed to say a bracha, even if you have an 8-year-old boy walking around undressed in the room, you're permitted to say a bracha, not only because you're doing a bris on him, you're not doing a bris. And others say no, even though he's not Roy Labia, he's not yet 9 years old. It is, has a din of Orla. But here, since that's what you're doing the mitzvah with, and you're supposed to say the bracha, Oyvel Asiyasam, immediately before, so that's what... So that's why it's permissible to recite the bracha, because that's the mitzvah. But if the kid is walking around naked in the house, you're not allowed to say a bracha. If it's not b'shas hamil, you're not allowed. The Rambam just says sometimes the baby has a dirty diaper, so that's tzoya. So that you shouldn't say a bracha when there's tzoya. But to say the bracha when there's erva, that when they go for one reason or the other. Then it says in the Gemara that when you perform a bris milah, that's Reish Samach Hei Sifyut based. Nogim Lasa Suda Biyom Amila. Why do you make a Suda? Because the Gemara in the first daf and Rabbi Leza de Mila quotes that David HaMelech was always doing mitzvahs, and when he went into the Beis HaMerchatz, he was undressed. When he took a shower, took a bath, he was undressed. He felt he didn't have tzitzis on him. He wasn't wearing tefillin, so he felt bad. He's not doing any mitzvah. Then he realized he has the bris milah he has. So he says, "Sasa anochi limarsecha kimotzei shol avro." He's happy that he has the bris milah with him all the time. So because the pasuk says that bris milah has to do with sincha, sasa anochi limarsecha. So there's an inyan to make a suda lekovet the simcha. Let's say when you lay tefillin every morning, you don't make a party. When you put on a talis every day, you don't make a party. That's a mitzvah that doesn't bring with it simcha. But when you get married, that's a mitzvah that there's an inyan of simchas chas mekala. So there's a mitzvah to have a suda, and ain't simcha lebasav yain. So more correct is to have a fleishig meal. Most people don't like to have fleishig so early in the morning. They're davening shachris at an early minyan at the crack of dawn, and then they're going to have zizimak dimnus. They're going to have a bris before the other people are waking up. They're having a bris, and they're going to serve fleishigs in the morning. But that's more correct is that you should really have a fleishig bris. Basav yain, even if you don't want to have fleishigs. The Gemara says that b'zman she beis hamikdash hayu kaimen simcha lebisar shlomim. B'zman she beis hamikdash kaimen is not b'sar shlomim anyway. So the Gemara says that simcha lebiyayin. So the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Yontif claims in the Bir Halacha, he thinks that rov haposkim hold that b'zman hazeh you don't really have to have basar on Yontif because it's not shlomim anyway. The main thing is you have to have yayin. And others disagree. You learn the first page in Yerideya, page Aleph Amen Aleph in Yerideya Chelek Aleph. They talk about if the shochet is in Avelis, in the middle of Shiva, he really shouldn't shecht. Because you have to be alert when you're shechting to make sure that you don't make a psul. You have to be alert to check the knife to make sure there's no pegimus, and you shouldn't do any psulim in the shechita. If you push down, that's drosa, that's no good. You have to fiddle back and forth. So sometimes the shochet is not paying full attention. He's going to push down without pushing back and forth. That can puzzle. So there's a minute that you don't allow an oval to shech. What if it's Erev Yontif, and he's the oval is sitting a little village, and he's in the middle of Shiva. He's not going to shech, so the people won't have a flesh for Yontif. So it says then we allow him to shech, even though he's in the middle of Shiva. What if they have two shochtim in town? One shechet checks chickens, and the shechet who shechts flesh is in Avel of Shiva. So can you be yotze simchas Yontif with chickens, or do you need davke flesh? On Shabbos there is no mitzvah of simcha. It's only a din of kibbutz v'yoinek. Oinek Shabbos. So oinek Shabbos you can be yotze with chickens. Now maybe on Yontif there's a mitzvah of simcha. But maybe simcha's Yontif requires davke b'sar behema. So that's a machlokes. It's the first page in Yerideya, page Aleph Amar Aleph in Chelek Aleph Yerideya, between the Yad Avram and the Yad Ephraim. On the bottom of the page, the commentaries have a machlokes. They need davke b'sar behema. So that's the same shada for a wedding. Same shalom for a wedding or for a bris. The reason why you have a suit is because it's a simcha. So a simcha is and simcha le b'bas v'yayin. Let's say you go to a wedding. So you should make sure that you have some wine. You have to get drunk, but a little bit of wine. Pash, this is that you're not yotze with grape juice. It has to be wine that has alcoholic content. Enough to get you excited. There's a meaning that in Shulchan Aruch it's mentioned that the Friday night before the bris you have a Shalom Zocha. What is that all about? So the Shach quotes the explanation that the baby just forgot all of his learning. Because the Gemara says in Nida that the Malach teaches the baby Kol HaTorah Kula. And then as when he's inside his mother's womb, and then when he's about to be born, so the Malach slaps him and he makes him forget everything. So that's caused to observe Avelus. So whenever one loses a relative, so the Menachemim have to give Sudas Havra. So you even have Sudas Havra on Shabbos. So we give the Sudas Havra to the baby. The baby can't eat anything. But the reason why you have a Shalom Zocha is that all the people come to Sudas Havra of the baby. And that's why there's a minig that you have Nahit, that you have chickpeas. Because Avel is like a Galgal HaChayzer Bo'olam. And that's Maichal Avelim. That's the minig. When Rav Soloveitchik was old and he couldn't take care of himself, his wife already passed away. So they used to have boys sleep in the apartment here in the yeshiva to make sure that he doesn't fall off the bed, make sure that he dresses properly. And he should eat meals, he should be healthy, because he wasn't taking care of himself. So one of the boys got married, and Rav Soloveitchik apologized that he can't come to his wedding. He was able to come to New York to give the shir. So he said he can't come to the wedding, but he blessed him, he should have children. And then he told him, he gave him the bracha, and if you have a boy, you make a shalom zocha, don't bring any chickpeas, because we don't hold like that reason. That we don't follow that. He's giving a bracha before the wedding, when you have a boy. So when he had a boy, so his mother came with a big jar full of chickpeas. A gigantic chocolate. So he told his mother, Rav Soloveitchik said, We shouldn't use it. Yeah. So the Taz quotes a different reason why Shalom Zocher is why we treat it like a Sudas Mitzvah. That there's a Medrash Rabbah that you shouldn't do the Bris Milah before the eighth day like a Korban. He can't be makarv an animal as a korban until the eighth day. What is that all about? The same thing, he can't do the bris milah on the baby as compared to a korban. He can't do the bris until the eighth day. Why? So the Medrash Rabbah says that there's some quality on Friday night. Friday night is bepchinas malchus. In Kabbalah, Swarm, and Shabbos morning is Bebchinas Yisoid. So the baby and the behemoth have to experience Friday night. So even if the baby was born last week on Shabbos morning in the daytime, but he didn't experience what one experiences on Friday night. So that's why you have to wait till. You can't do the bris right away on that Shabbos because he didn't experience Friday night. If the baby was born on Friday night, why can't you do the bris tomorrow morning? Anyway, so the Medrash is explaining that's the reason why. So since it's the baby experiences Friday night, like the behemah experiences Friday night, that's what makes the baby roy for the bris. That's what makes the behemah roy for the bris milah. So since it's the experiencing of Friday night that makes the baby roy to have the bris, they make a party on the Friday night before. There are different minhagim. What happens if there's the baby is not well and you have to postpone the bris? When do you do the Shalom Zocher? The first Friday night or the last Friday night before? So yeah, I think most assume the first Friday night is the experiencing the baby was born already experiences Friday night. That's what enables him. So Lechon used to suggest his own suggestion. Why it's there's an inyan of a Shalom Zocher. So he said the Rambam writes that whenever there's a, the Rambam quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says whenever you have to be Mechal Shabbos for the purpose of Pikuach Nefesh, you shouldn't ask a Goy to do it, you shouldn't ask Tanim, you shouldn't ask Noshim, because the people will get the mistaken impression that you're not permitted to be Mechal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh. You have to have a Goy. And what if there's not going to be a Goy, so they're not going to take care of the Pikuach Nefesh? The Gemara says you have to do Ayadei Gedolim, Ayadei people who are Bar Mitzvah. That's a Pashup Shat the Gemara. The Rambam learns Ayadei Gedolim, Gedolim Yisrael v'chachameim, the Rabbonim have to go to be Mechalal Shabbos. That's by one of the Rabbeim, several of the Rabbeim who taught when I was in high school, several of the Rabbeim had learned by Rabbi Elbel and Soloveitchi. They used to tell over stories. So one of the Talmidim, Rabbi Elbel told over a story that once on Shavuos morning, they were in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz of Shacharis, and someone ran into Shul in Brisk, and they said that a Jewish university student, means an apikiris, the religious Jews didn't go to university, a Jewish apikiris, was run over by a car, and because he wasn't a citizen of Brisk, he was a citizen of Poland, it's a different country, so they're not gonna treat him in a hospital until after they contact the embassy. So Rav Elbel Soloveitchik ran out of shul. Because the Rabbonim have to take care of the Chilul Shabbos. Who is he taking care of Chilul Shabbos? Well, university student. Mechal Shabbos before Esya. Probably not before Esya. It didn't matter. He ran out to take care. So they told the Chazan he should slow down because they want to wait for the Kriyas HaTorah till Rabbi Abba comes back. So he was saying everything slowly. It didn't help. They can't wait forever. So they lane, they're making mishaberos, taking time. He didn't come back. So, and finally, they had no choice. So they had to start the Musaf. So in the middle of Musaf, Rabbi Abba came back. But he couldn't walk up to the front because everybody was standing Shemon Esri, not allowed to walk in front of people. So he davened in the back. He didn't have his machsa. So he was davening by heart. So he was so shaken up, and so by what happened. So he was davening by heart Musaf for Shavuos. So part of it, you know, by heart. We have a Bikurim that he didn't know by heart. So after he finished, so that's not Miakadiri. But if he didn't say the Psukim, that's Machlokes Taisus and Rashi. The last Taisus in Rosh Hashanah, we pass, and he was saying the parsha of the Karbanis Musaf is not Miyakim. But he didn't, after the davening is over, he didn't remember what he said, Shachriz Dika Shmoneh Esrei, or Musaf Dika Shmoneh Esrei. So he wouldn't take it upon himself, even to Paskan Yalav Yavashadah for himself. He went to Reb Simcha Zelig. He was the dying in Prisk. So he asked him, what's the din? So he started asking, do you remember saying this? Do you remember saying that? Didn't remember anything. He was so tzimish. Anyway, so that's what the Rav Soloveitchik said. The Yoledis is considered the Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana, the first 7 days. So in every community, when a woman gave birth, she would be home. So the rabbi would go to visit her on Friday night to see if she needs any Chilul Shabbos. The rabbi is going to do the Chilul Shabbos, but it's not Derech Eretz. The rabbi should walk by himself. So because they all knew the rabbi was going to walk to the home of the Yoledis, so the Choshev of Balabatim would go pick up the rabbi and they would walk with him. So he thought that's where the minig came from. It started, the minig of having a Shalom Zocher came from the fact they didn't like the reason of the Shach with the chickpeas, that it's a Sudas Avroah. The baby's not eating any. They give the Sudas Avroah to the oval. The baby can't eat anything. He didn't go for the reason of the Taz, that it's the Friday night, the experiencing Friday night that enables the baby to have the bris, therefore it's a simcha. He thought that maybe his reason was the real reason why you have a suda. Because the rabbi always came, and the Balabatim would baklate the rabbi, so then he gave the rabbi something to eat. Yeah, we said, we spoke about the din. When the moel does the mila, even though he cut off roiv, basal chayv is roiv ha-Torah, the Gemara says you should cut off more. You should cut off the whole orla, and that's a hida mitzvah. The Gemara quotes the pasuk as zekeli gandeu. There's a mitzvah of hida mitzvah. But what happens if the moel already put on the bandage? If a silek yodo, he put on the bandage. Then, so the Rambam learns, Bein b'chol, Bein b'shabbos, he won't gain anything by continuing. He can't do any hida mitzvah after he already finished doing the mitzvah. So you don't bother to cut off the miut. That's tzitz and shemak. And the Ramah paskin like the tour, that's only on Shabbos. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do a malachas. So the Kolzman, he didn't put the bandage on. Let him cut some more. Let him cut off the tzitz and shemak when it's amila. Do a hida mitzvah. But if you're ready, see like yodo, then you're not allowed to be Mechalal Shabbos or Yom Tov for the Hidur Mitzvah. And if Lo Silek Yodo, why is there a heter to continue cutting more? He's causing more bleeding. Every little bit of bleeding that you do is a Malacha. And it's not necessary. It's only for Hidur Mitzvah. You're allowed to be Mechalal Shabbos for Hidur Mitzvah. Mila Bizman is Decha Shabbos. The miut of the Tzitzin Shem Akron Samila, that's not necessary for the Mitzvah Mila. That's necessary for the mitzvah of Hida mitzvah. So Rav Dovla Soloveitchik said, you see, from that Gemara, the Hida mitzvah is not a general. There's a mitzvah of tzitzis, and a mitzvah of tefillin, and a mitzvah of shofar, and then there's another mitzvah of Hida mitzvah. Now he said, Hida mitzvah is an enhancement of each and every individual mitzvah. So if you do Hida mitzvah of Mila, that's a chelik, that's a hemshach of the mitzvah of Mila. He said, there's such a similar Gemara, he thought that was pshat in this Gemara. Then he thought there's such a similar Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara says when you hold the lulav and the esrei, you shouldn't have any chatzitza. You shouldn't be wearing gloves. But there's always going to be a chatzitza. We have a container. We have a keshikol. The container that you put the hadassim and the arobis in. So Rabbi Soloveitchik never had the container. He used to hold everything. He tied it together with that. But most people have a container. So the Gemara raises an issue. Have a container, so isn't that already a chatzitza? The Gemara says, no. Kol na'oso ein achotzitz. Since you have the container, that it should be a hida mitzvah, it's a noye mitzvah, kol na'oso is not called a chatzitza. Why not? Because hida mitzvah is a hida within a mitzvah. It's not that there's another mitzvah to do everything to hidura. It enhances the mitzvah, becomes an integral part of the mitzvah itself. Rabbi Yosef Engel has an essay where he talks about the Gemara in Perikisei Adam in Chulin. Sometimes, let's say a person is sick on Shabbos and the doctors say that he needs freshly cooked chicken soup. So the Gemara says, Shechten l'chayla b'Shabbos. You're allowed to shech the chicken on Shabbos. That's all discussion in Rishonim. Why do you shech the chicken on Shabbos? Chilul Shabbos is an Issa Koris, or an Issa Mrs. Bezen. Why don't you just take some tray for chicken? Tray for chicken is only an Issa Lav. And the din is whenever you have to do an avera for the sake of pikuach nefesh, you do hakala kal tchili. You try to violate the lesser of all of the evils. So why not have a goy shechta? Shechta sakam is nevela, but it's amir liakam for the Shabbos. There'll only be an isa derabbanan of the Shabbos, and nevela is a lesser an isa. So that's the whole discussion in the Rishon. So the Gemara says, Ashechet l'chayla b'Shabbos, if you have a chayla sheyesh b'sakana, and because of the suffix sakana, we allow the shechet to shech the chicken, he's allowed to be machal Shabbos to do the kisui hadam. In the Hemshech HaGemara, we don't accept that opinion. But why was there such an opinion in the first place? Kisui hadam is not miyakev in the heter achila. You can do the kisui hadam after Shabbos. If there'll be a puddle of blood, if it won't dry up, be able to do kisui hadam after Shabbos. Why are you allowed to do? We paskin, you're not allowed to. But why was there an opinion in the beginning? That's why Rabbi Yosef Engel has a long arichas about this. So he claims he has a lot of gemaras that indicate like this. Tosfos on Pezayin and Chulin shows when the gemara kisui hadam is considered the gemara of shechita. So since he had a heter to do the shechita, even though the gemara of the kisui hadam is not me'akev in the heter achila, but since he had a heter to be mechal Shabbos, let's say for the bris milah, you have a heter to be mechal Shabbos for the bris milah. Bris milah is over when you cut off basal chayfas roif ha-torah. You finished already. But if you still continue, even without the heder mitzvah, even if it wouldn't have been a heder mitzvah, he said, you don't need what Rav Avala said. To cut off the miut, ruba kukula, but if you cut off the miut, that's a hemshech of what you're doing from before. So not only do you have a heter to be mechal Shabbos for the part that's the mitzvah, even for the hemshech, the miut of the Or Ha'ol is also mutter, and even to do the Mechal Shabbos for the Kisei Adam, there was an opinion that since Kisei Adam is a Gemara of the Shechita, that's also mutter. And then there was a discussion, let's say the only matzah that you have to be yotze with on Leil HaSeder is a matzah that's osa b'achilo. So some Rishonim say, Eser Dechel Osa Asei. You're allowed to eat the treif matzah in order to, if it's chametz, you know, it's not matzah, but if it's not chametz, it's treif for a different reason. Chametz, you're not yotze the mitzvah matzah. But if it's kosher le Pesach, and it's tevel, let's say, so, or it's chodosh, so then there's room to some Rishonim say, Eser Dechel Lo Yisaseh. So do you have to be careful only to eat a kazayis? So Tosfos says, yeah, if you eat more than a kazayis, there was no heter. So Yosef Engel shows there are Rishonim who disagree. They say the second kazayis is a hemshech of the first kazayis. So since there was a heter, Eser Dechel Lo Yisaseh on the first kazayis, there'll be a heter on the second kazayis also. But when you do yibum, let's say my brother dies, he leaves no descendants, I'm supposed to do yibum. And my brother was married to a mamzeres. So I do yibum, and then I'm going to give her a get. I'm going to divorce. I'm doing the yibum just to be out to the mitzvah, and then I'm going to give her a get. So what was the heter to do the yibum? The Gemara says, Eser Dechel Lo Yisaseh. So Tosfos says, the Gemara says, we don't permit it, midirabbanan, because gzeir birishan ought to be a shniyah. He only has a heter, Eser Dechel Lo Yisaseh, to do the first birishan. That's the mitzvah. He has no heter to do birishniyah. The Tosfos says, lav davke gzeir birishan ought to be a shniyah. Gzeir tchilas bir ought to gmar bir. You're not allowed to do the gmar bir. Once you do tchilas bir, you're ready to get to the mitzvah of yibum. So some other rishonim disagree, but they say, no, what are you talking about? You had a heter, Eser Dechel Lo Yisaseh, for the tchilas bir, and the gmar bir is a hemshech. So the heter, Eser Dechel Lo Yisaseh, even applies to the gmar habir, even though he didn't really need it for the mitzvah. Give it a lot of mesholim for that point. But that's not what Rav Elwala gave a different bir. He said because the hida mitzvah is a hemshech of the hida mitzvah, enhances the mitzvah, it's not a separate mitzvah. Hida mitzvah enhances the mitzvah. Maybe I'll save the rest for tomorrow. Okay. Good. The rest is going to be on tomorrow. We will probably finish all of my comments on Hilchas Milah. What should we do after Milah? Pinyan Aben? We do the Mitzvah Pinyan Aben. People really interested in learning Hilchas Aveilos. A lot of other people are learning Aveilos.
Should we make a vote?
Good idea, take a vote. Think about what do people like to learn after we're going to finish Hilchas Milah tomorrow. Good. Okay, if anybody wants to see the Yad HaKtana, it's available.